Isaiah 40. Again, I don't believe in coincidences or chance. That was God's plan. Amen. Isaiah 40, 31. We're going to learn our memory verse again this week. It's our second week here in Isaiah 40, 31. It's amazing. Before I bathed in prayer what verse we're going to learn in Sunday school. And it might not dawn on me right away why that verse, Lord. But as I start going into the lessons for those weeks that verse covers, it's amazing how the Lord brings out the message from His Word to apply to that memory verse. And this is no exception, for this week's lesson really pertains to this verse. Isaiah 40, 31, if you know it, please help me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Now, I'm not adding to the Word of God. That's my prayer at the end of that verse. Teach me to wait. Let's sing it one more time. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that this morning. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. A very familiar portion of Scripture. We've been here for a number of weeks now. And as the Lord leads, that's how we're going to follow Him. So as we begin this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that You would help us this morning to understand exactly what You would have us from this portion of Scripture. Apply it to our hearts and lives. Allow the Holy Spirit to move among us and speak to our hearts as You have spoken to my heart this week. Help us, dear Lord, to understand this lesson. Help me to just be a vessel in Your hands, Lord. Help it be none of my strength. Help it to be none of my ability, but all of You. We pray that You would help us this day to be the best Christians that we can be. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to just review very shortly just a few verses, and we're going to go right into a portion of Scripture that everybody knows. 1 Samuel 17 is the battle of David and Goliath. And we have been in this portion of Scripture for at least 2 weeks now, maybe 3 weeks, and we haven't even come to the battle. Well, today we will get to that battle, and hopefully we can see something that maybe we have not seen before. It is a story that we all know. It is a Bible story that we learn from a small child into our adult years, and we think we know this story. So as I prayed this week for this lesson, I was like, Lord, show me something. Show me the true meaning of this story. And as I prayed over these verses, and as I asked the Lord to help me understand this, the Holy Spirit helped me, and I pray it's a blessing to you this morning. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's just look at a few verses before we get into the lesson this morning. In 17:1, it says, Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah and Epizdeim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and the Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Down to verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. Now turn over in your Bibles to verse 32. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And now we come to the verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his sword in his hand and chose him 5 small, smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he'd had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. This is by Goliath's gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Defied. This morning I'd like to talk to you just briefly here about the season of strength is short. The season of strength is short. The Philistines have invaded Israel. They have marched their way into the valley of Elah, and they have pitched their camp on a hillside above the valley, and the armies of Israel have heard of it, and they've marched their armies up to the valley of Elah and pitched on the opposite hill. And there's 300 yards between the two armies in this valley. And instead of doing the normal battle between two armies, they say, no, we're going to send out a champion. Our champion is Goliath. And he's at least 9 feet tall. He is a man of strength. And we're going to send him out, and whoever you have, Israel, Saul, bring him out, and whoever wins this battle, that side will be the victors, and the other side will be our slaves and our servants. Now, the Philistines had no doubt they were going to win. They had the mighty champion Goliath. He calls himself the Philistine. He was trusting in his strength. Philistine army was trusting in the strength of Goliath. He was trusting in his sword and in his spear and in his shield and his armor and his victories of past days. He was the champion of the Philistine army. But the season of strength is short. Far too long, we have relied on, depended on, trusted in, counted on, placed our confidence in the wrong object or the wrong person. We as a culture, we as a country, we as a church body, almost, if not daily, trust in our abilities, trust in our strengths, trust in our talent to get us through difficult circumstances, through difficult tests. Think of in the Old West, this humble town is besieged by a ruthless gang. Who do they trust in to save them? The sheriff, the marshal, the good guy. Think on the battlefield during war and you're under siege. Who are you relying on? Your officers, your weapons to see you through. On the athletic field and time is running out and you're facing an uphill climb to victory, we place our confidence in the star players, or in our coaches to bring us the victory, or in our own abilities. On the job, we hear rumors of layoffs coming down from the top executives. We depend on our work ethic and our relationship with those supervisors. They'll protect us. During our daily walk as a Christian, we face difficult tests every day. Circumstances come in our lives every day. What do we trust in to get us through those? Our abilities, our strengths, our talent. We can overcome in our own strength and our own abilities. I can think my way out of this. I can scheme my way out of this. The season of strength is short. We would call this in our language today reliance, or to rely on. The definition of reliance is a relying, a trust, a dependence, or a confidence, a thing relied on. Its synonyms, we've already mentioned a few, is trust in, put your faith in, depend on, count on, trust, dependent on, fall back on. That's Goliath. And Goliath says in verse 44, the Bible says about him in verse 44, "And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field." He has no doubt he is going to win. In verse 45, he says, "And then said to David to the Philistine, then said David to the Philistine, comest thou to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield?" See, he's trusting. Goliath's got this sword and this spear, as we talked about in weeks past, of the weaver's beam. And the tip of it is just 20-some pounds heavy. And he's got his shield man, his armor bearer, going before him with the full shield. Goliath's trusting in all his stature and his strength and his ability and his weaponry. In verse 47, he says, David is saying, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear." That's not how you're going to win this battle, Goliath. Not with your sword and not with your spear and not with your shield and not with your strength. And the Bible says about David in verse 39, it says, "And David girded his sword," this is he's girding on Saul's sword, "upon his armor, and he stayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto him, Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." He's trusting the Lord. "I can't take your weaponry. I'm going to trust the Lord." It says in verse 45 about David, as we saw earlier, and he says in the latter part of verse 45, he says, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I come to thee in the name of the Lord, not in my own strength." In verse 46, in the latter part of the verse, he says, "And I will give," or let's just read it, "And this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know how great David is." Now, that's not what my Bible says. "That all the earth may know how strong I am." "That all the earth may know how brave I am." How the Lord has blessed me with such great abilities." No. What does it say? Says that all the earth, look at that, earth. The earth, not Israel, not the Valley of Elah, not the Israelite army or the Philistine army, but the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He's trusting his Lord to deliver him. He's not trusting his own strength. Too often we do trust our own strength. I know I do, daily. If you would be honest, you probably do too. Look back with me in 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is in Hannah's prayer. She is the mother of Samuel the prophet that has anointed David king of Israel. And she says in her prophetic prayer an amazing statement. And of course, it's not by coincidence. God has given her these words. And they have been recorded for us thousands of years later. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Look at verse 9. In her prophetic prayer, she is praying to God, "And he will keep the feet of the saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness." Look at that last part. "For by strength shall no man prevail." Let's break that verse down for a minute. And I might not get through this lesson today, but that's okay. There's a lot here. We read through the Bible quickly, too quickly sometimes. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9, let's break this verse down. The word keep, the third word of this verse, he will keep, means to guard, to have charge of, to protect, to keep watch over. God will watch over. He will keep. He will guard the feet of his saints. The saints mean the faithful, the godly. Read on. And the wicked here means the ungodly, the wicked, the guilty, shall be silent. Silent here means to be struck dumb. Cannot speak, not dumb intelligently, but struck dumb. You cannot speak. In darkness, the word darkness here means to be put in obscurity, to be put in a secret place. And the word strength shall be in silent in darkness, for by strength. It's talking about your human strength, ability, or power. And the last word here is prevail. Strength, for by strength shall no man prevail. Prevail means to exceed, be mighty, be great, to be valiant. Now, I'm not going to change the scriptures here, but I'm putting in the definitions of the words from the Hebrew language. This is what the verse says to me in the Hebrew language. It says, he will guard the feet of his faithful, and the ungodly shall be struck dumb in obscurity. For by their strength, power, or ability shall no person prevail or be great. Is that Goliath? Does that apply to us? Throughout the scriptures, but mainly throughout the book of Psalms, David is the author of most of the Psalms. And as David writes in the Psalms, he records for us what the Lord has given him and how the Lord has blessed him and protected him. And he tells us that the Lord is his strength. And he tells us he has put his trust in God. Just some examples here. Look, if you want to write these down, we're going to go quickly here. Psalm 7:1, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Psalm 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalm 11:1, in the Lord put I my trust. In Psalm 16:1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 17:7, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by the right hand of them that put their trust in thee, for those that rise up against thee. Psalm 25:20, O keep my soul and deliver me, let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. It goes on and on and on through the book of Psalms. David is writing where his trust is. His trust is in the Lord. Not in his strength, not in his ability, not in his sword, not in his sling, not in his stones. His trust is in the Lord. And he's also saying, my strength comes from the Lord. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth. I think there's a Bible principle here. Our strength comes from God. If we're trying to trust in our own strength and our own abilities, we can apply 1 Samuel 2:9 to us and say our strength will not prevail. The season of strength is short. Anything we try to do in our own strength is a limited time. But if we count on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, to give us our strength and we put our trust in Him, that strength is unlimited. That ability is unlimited because it's God Almighty's. Can we do all things through Christ? If strengthens me. If we put our trust in Him. The scene here is in the Battle of Epsdim. We're back in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The scene of this battle is the Battle of Epsdim. It's really the first battle. There's actually two battles of this area. The second one is talked about in 2 Samuel 23, where it's talking about the mighty men of David. But this is the first battle of Epsdim. And the Philistines are trying to take over the nation of Israel and make them their slaves. But God has another plan. He has a servant that he has been preparing. It's not even supposed to be at the battlefield, but his father sends him to the battlefield just to check on his brothers, their welfare, take them some food, and bring word back to his father that they're okay. But his servant, the servant David, God's servant, in verse 38 says, "And Saul armed David with his armor. No one was willing to stand up to Goliath." Why? They lacked faith in their God. They had not put their trust in their God. They were trusting in their own strength and their own ability. And they look out at Goliath and say, "I'm not strong enough for that. I can't stand up to him. My armor is nowhere near as good as his. My sword is not even half as long as his sword." They were trusting in their own strength and their own abilities, and they were shaking in their sandals like, "I cannot go." Even Abner, which is the general of the Israelite army, he does not stand up for his king and say, "I will go fight this giant." King Saul, which is head and shoulders above all other Israelite, is saying, "I'm not going to go." Why? He was not walking with his Lord. He was not trusting in his Lord. He was looking into his own strength and his own ability and says, "I cannot fight Goliath." So, young David, still a shepherd, a lad, the eighth of Jesse's sons, the youngest, comes to the battlefield just like his father asked him to. And in verse 38, the word of God says, "And Saul armed David after he has volunteered. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword," Saul's sword, "upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, 'I cannot go with thee, for I have not proved them.' And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Let's look at this portion of Scripture. Again, this is such a familiar portion of Scripture. And when we read our Bibles, are we reading for understanding? Are we reading and asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures for us and teach us what's there? If we see a word and we don't understand it, are we looking it up or we just keep on going? "Oh, I read my chapter for the day. I'm good. Let's go back and do whatever we're supposed to do." We gave God however long it took us to write that chapter, 1 minute, 2 minutes, and you think you're good for the day. Guess what you're going to do the rest of the day? You're going to do things in your own strength. You're going to do things in your own ability because you have not spent time in putting your trust in God. You're looking to your own strength and not His strength. David says, "I am volunteering to face this giant." If we looked at last week's lesson, some of the words that he had heard, he had endured ridicule from his own brother. Didn't try his fate. Well, he just turned away from him. He actually received words of discouragement from the king of Israel. You're a small lad. I appreciate you coming, son, but let someone stand up that's a little better than you and stronger than you and has got more ability than you and has some armor and a weapon." No, he even endured those words of discouragement from his king. But they don't deter David's faith. Saul tries to arm him with his armor and his weapons, the things that Saul had placed his confidence in. "Well, they're not going to work for me, but you go ahead and try them out, David. Take my armor, take my coat of mail, take my brass helmet, take my sword. They'll work for you. They're okay." And the Bible says he essayed to go. And that's not a word I use in my everyday language. Maybe it's in yours, but I had to look it up. It's like, what in the world is essayed? And it says that it means David attempted a step or two and stopped. He essayed. "I'll try." He put it on, took a step or two. "No, this isn't going to work. isn't going to work. Not, I don't believe because of the weight. Not, I don't believe because of they were Saul's. And no, it says, the Bible, look what it says. He said, he had not proved it. What do you mean, proved it? My proved might be something different than this proved. What does it mean? He had not tested it. He had not tried it. He had not put his confidence in it. David takes what the Lord provided him and had prepared him all along for. It says in verse 40, he took his staff. What is a staff? It's a wooden tree limb that he herds the sheep with and knocks the head of the sheep. You know, the sheep are dumb animals. And he's knocking the head of the sheep and says, get back over here. What are you doing? You know, some of them have a crook in them, and he's like hooking the neck and saying, come back over here, and guiding them around. He takes what the Lord has already prepared for him and provided him. He takes his staff, a wooden limb of a tree. I'm going to go face Goliath with a stick. He takes his shepherd bag. It's a leather or a cloth bag, which was hung around his neck. Not around his waist, but around his neck. He took his sling, and it's not like we grew up playing slingshots. His sling was two leather cords, and they were attached with a leather or a cloth piece in the middle of them. And when you slung it, you held both pieces and fingers normally, and you held them and you twirled it around your head. And when you were ready to let it go, you let go one of the cords, and it straightened out, and that velocity of that stone or that projectile is going to go out at a tremendous force. Some interesting things here is talked about in verse 40. It says, he took his staff in his hand and he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. Five smooth stones. Many people have asked, why five? Why did he take two or three or eight or ten? Why five? A lot of different discussions on this, a lot of different beliefs on this. You know, Goliath had four sons. Goliath had four sons. It's possible that David knew that he had heard of Goliath and he had heard of the sons of Goliath, and maybe he took five stones to kill all five of them. If one showed up, maybe the other ones would show up. I don't doubt that. That's a possibility. I don't think it's coincidence that he took five. I don't think it's an accident that he took five. You know, he did not even have any ammunition when he told Saul, I'll go do it. I'll go fight Goliath. He didn't even have any ammunition. He was trusting the Lord for even his ammunition to fight this giant. And God had five smooth stones in a brook in his path waiting on him. You know, the stone has been smoothed. So now by the action of water, by the motion of water, which is God doing that, it is now smooth. If it had not been smooth, it would not flow out of his sling as accurately as a smooth stone would have. God had prepared those stones. But in digging a little bit deeper, and that's me, I like to dig deep in the Scriptures. I say, Lord, why five? I can understand Goliath and his four sons, but there's got to be more. What is it, Lord? And as I dug deeper, I about had a shouting fit in the house yesterday. I went in the kitchen, I said, you got to sit down and hear this. And I told my wife what was going on. We about had a shouting fit. I wanted to do a glory run through the house. You know what the meaning of five is? Divine grace. Divine grace is what number five means. David is what son? The eighth son. What does eight mean, Brother Sam? New beginnings. New covenant. I don't know about y'all. David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we haven't even touched that in these lessons. The new covenant. A new beginning. The old has passed away. And now we see David picking up five stones, which mean divine grace. God is going to give the victory through David, which is a type of Christ, by grace. Woo! Praise the Lord. Wow. Read your Bibles. If you don't understand something, ask somebody or study it. Dig into it. There is so much here. It's not hidden. It just takes a little study. What does the Bible tell us in Timothy? Study to show thyself approved unto God. We could stop there for a while. The Bible says in verse 40, in the end of the verse, he says, David, drew near to the Philistine. He's not scared. He's not shaking in his sandals. He's not worried one bit. Because he's not trusting in his strength. He's not trusting in his ability. He's trusting in his Lord to give him the victory. And he says already in the verses, let me see if I can put my finger on it here. Somewhere in 35 through 36, it says that he in future tense, he will deliver me. Here it is in verse 7. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. It's future tense. He is faith in future tense. I'm already trusting God that he's going to give me the delivery. Now we see the scoundrel in verses 41 through 44. And he took his, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. So it's really two against one. And the Philistine looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. This scoundrel here. We've got the servant. Now we've got the scoundrel that's trusting in his own strength. It's the 41st day of the challenge. Morning and evening he comes and he challenges the Israelite army. Now the challenge has been accepted. Somehow notification has gone out that someone has accepted the challenge. Either by horn, by trumpet, by flag, by verbal. Somehow the notification's come out because it says in verse 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near. The Philistine looked about. He looked about. Where's the challenger? All I see is this lad, David. And he disdained him. Disdain means to hold in despise or regard in contempt. Saw him as worthless. This is not even worth my time. Is this the guy? Is this who's my competitor, my challenger? He held him as worthless. An interesting note here in verse 44, the Bible says about Goliath and his words. He says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the earth. Now look at verse 46 and David's response. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the earth. Goliath says, I'm going to defeat you, David. I'm going to give your flesh to your carcass to the fowls of the air. David says, come on, big boy, because I'm trusting in my God, and the host of the Philistines' carcasses are going to be for the fowls of the air. He didn't trust God just for the victory over David or over Goliath. He trusted the victory over the whole host of the Philistines. That's faith. If we had some of that today, what could we do for God? And he says in the Bible, he cursed David by his gods. I've lost my place here, somewhere here. Verse 43. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? That's study that. He is really saying, you guys don't think much of me at all. A dog is the lowest thing in this portion of the earth at this time. You think I'm worthless, nothing. And he says, thou comest to me with staves, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now the gods of the Philistine people was Dagon, Ashtaroth, Baalzebub. But an interesting note, when the Ark of the Covenant is captured in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and 5, the Ark of the Covenant is captured by the Philistine army, and they take it into the temple of their chief god, Dagon. And they take it into the temple, And they put it before their God and say, here is our victory. We've done this by strength and by our ability. The next morning they come into their temple and Dagon's statue is on its face in front of the Ark of the Covenant, worshiping the God of the Ark of the Covenant. You know, when Goliath falls after David kills him, how does he fall? The Bible says, on his face to the earth. What's David a type of? Christ. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't think it's coincidence. He could have fallen backwards. That force of that stone would have hit him back, gone backwards. No, it says he fell forward with his face on the earth. Goliath didn't know it, but he was a dead man walking. He was trusting in his past victories. He was trusting in his strength. He was trusting in his stature. He was trusting in his armor and his weapons. Give me just a few minutes and we'll finish this. And on the sidelines, what's going on the sidelines and the assemblies above? You've got the Israelite army over here. Are they trusting David? Oh, David's going to do it. Woo! David's going to win. Or are they like, okay, I've got my money bags in. I've got my sword. I've got my armor. I got my mule or my horse. Or I'm ready to go. I'm running away as fast as I can. What's the Israelite army doing? Are they praying for victory to their God? I think they're sitting there going, oh my goodness, what's going to happen now? Because they didn't have enough faith to trust God to give them the victory. Now, do you think they're going to trust God to give David the victory? What's the other side doing? What's the Philistine army doing? Yelling, shouting, ridiculing, laughing, mocking. They were relying on their champion to win the fight because of his strength, because of his stature, because of his armor, because of his past victories. He was their champion. They were relying on their champion to win the fight. They were ready to go ahead and take over Israel and make the Israelites their slaves. They were not thinking of defeat. The season of strength is short. Lastly, let's look at verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, and the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into his hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He's not scared. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and he slang it, and he smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk in his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. And he smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. The silencing of strength. He silenced strength. But it wasn't David. David was not a trusting in his ability with his sling. He knew he could throw that thing really good. He was not trusting in his ability to use that sling. He was not trusting in his accuracy with that sling. And they say those Israelites knew how to sling a sling and how to hit a target and how to put down a target. But I don't think David was trusting in his strength or his ability in this sling or his accuracy with this sling. David was not trusting his strength to hurl the stone at the greatest velocity it could to kill that giant. Now they say when that stone leaves a sling of this time period, it could leave up to 80 to 100 miles an hour. Goliath is covered in 200 pounds of armor, but the exposed part of his body is his face. Now, I think it was faith that stone hit Goliath in the forehead. It wasn't David's accuracy. It wasn't David's ability. It wasn't even the velocity that David was able to sling that stone. It was God behind that stone. Some angel was flying by and going, smacks Goliath in the head. David had placed his trust in the Lord God, and he knew his strength came from him. Are we placing our confidence in our strength? Are we placing our confidence in our strength or in the Lord? Are we trying to work, think, scheme our way out of problems or circumstances? The season of strength is short, folks. It will not last. It will not prevail. The Lord wants us to live a life that places our trust and confidence in Him. We are to live the faith life. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this lesson. How such a familiar portion of Scripture help us to take away a lesson maybe that we did not know and apply it to our hearts and lives. Help us not to trust in our own strength or abilities, but to trust to you, to know that you will give us the victory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.